Go ahead and turn your Bibles to John chapter 14. That's where we're going to be at this morning. So last week we started a new series called Making Life Work. And so today we just want to build off of that. So let me just ask you a simple question this morning. How are things going? In essence, how is life going for you? And so I just want you to take a moment and just kind of evaluate your life. Is it really working for you, or is it working against you, it seems? And so we want to learn together to help us all learn together to help us make life work for us, because it seems like it's been working against us an awful lot these past weeks. And so we just want to learn some basic principles, some foundational things. So last week we looked at principle number one. Today we're going to look at principle number two. And so if you didn't watch last week, we just encourage you to watch last week, listen to last week, as we continue to build upon principle. And so last week was foundational, or as we learned the great commandment that Jesus taught in the final week of his life, talking about loving God and loving others. And so we can't escape that principle, because life is all about relationships, relationship with God, relationship with other people. And so that is the foundational principle to making life work. And so we don't want to just endure life. We want to love life. We want to love God. We want to love other people. And so today we're going to build on principle number two. And just like it was during principle number one was during the last week of Jesus' life. And so principle number two was found in John 14, which is really the last night before Jesus went to the cross, that final week that we celebrated, you know, 7 or 8 weeks ago. And so in John chapter 14, we're going to learn this second principle. And so please nail down principle number one first. And so we're just going to continue to build upon one another. So in John 14, Jesus makes the connection from the foundation to the next step. And so he's with the disciples. Judas is already out of the room. He gathers them together and he tells them some inner secrets about the spiritual life with him. And so please pay attention to these verses in John 14. We're going to start in verse 15. Let's read God's word together. It says, "If you love me, you will obey what I command." That's verse 15. So love is shown through obedience. In verse 21, it says, "Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by the Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him." So in essence, there is a trinity of love, he says in verse 21. The Father will love him, I will love him, and my Father and I will show ourselves to him, to the one who obeys our commands. So there's a trinity of love. There is this triangle of love, he says in verse 21. Now notice the blessings of verse 23. "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will make our home with him." Wow, God is simply saying, hey, I'm willing to quarantine myself with you in your home. I want to live with you because I love you and you love me. Wow, what a great blessing. His presence in your home. Wow, I know we can't have people sometimes over into our house right now, or quite not yet. And so, but isn't it amazing that God simply says, I can come into your home and my presence is felt and known and seen. Wow, what a blessing. You know, in the last church in Revelation 3, you see Jesus standing on the outside of this church door, and he's knocking on the outside of this door. Now think about this. This is God's people, and he's on the outside. He's not on the inside where he wants to be, but he's on the outside, and he's knocking. He says, "Do you hear me knocking? Will you open the door to let me in your life, let me in your home, and let me in your church?" So the saddest thing we could ever see is Jesus outside our life, outside our home, outside our church, because he wants to come in. And the way he wants to come in is that we have to listen and we have to obey what he's telling us to do. because we love each other. So here are just a couple of thoughts I want to take from these verses. And so I just have four key points I want to make this morning. Number one, Jesus notices those who obey his commands. In essence, obedience catches his eye whenever we take that step of faith and obey. And so, parents, you probably know this principle. You probably have seen your kids' room a mess. And so that morning before you go off to work, you tell them, hey, guys, before I get home from work today, I would love for you to pick up your room, clean your room, put your clothes all away, fold them, everything else, get the house clean for me. And you probably come home and it's like, it's not done. You notice when things aren't done. And so the kids look at each other like, sorry, Mom or Dad, we forgot. We just... And so we take notice, don't we, when things don't get done. And so Jesus does the same thing. He notices when things don't get done, but he also notices when things do get done. Wouldn't it be great to come home and say, hey, Mom and Dad, hey, we everything is spotless. Everything is in its place because we did this because we love you. Don't forget about the salary. Forget about the monetary things that you're going to give us. We just want to do this because we love you. You would probably be floored if your kids ever did something like that, right? But Jesus is expecting something like that. He says, because of you love me, you will obey. But whenever we do obey, he takes notice of what we do. He sees what we actually obey. And so principle number two, or point number two, if we have a love relationship with God, then it will show itself in our obedience to his commands. In essence, love shows up in obedience. Jesus links love with obedience to his commands. In essence, followers obey, right? We submit to his will, to his word, and we simply follow what he's teaching us, what he's commanding us to do. So Jesus says in Luke, the Gospel of Luke, he says, don't call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things that I tell you to do. In essence, when we're disobeying, we're actually taking the authority away from Jesus and placing ourselves under our authority and doing life our own way. And that's when life works against us, is when we fail to come under his leadership and follow him. Whenever we come under our leadership and follow our ways and lean on our own understanding, that's when life gets harder and tougher sometimes. But Jesus links love with obedience. Henry Blackaby, who wrote the book Experiencing God, says this. He says, you and I don't have an obedience problem. We have a love problem. There is a reason why we don't serve. And it's not that we have, hey, I don't have time or whatever it is. No, it's a love problem. There's a reason why we don't help others, and sometimes it's just a love problem. Because love shows action. Love comes in and wants to help. That's what compassion does. There's a reason why we don't want to pray. Because we just don't love being with Jesus. Sometimes we have a hard time giving or being generous. We don't have a generous problem. We have a love problem. I know that sometimes that may be hard to hear, but you know what? That's the reality of how Jesus sees it. Because obedience and love are linked together. Being a follower and loving and obeying Jesus are linked together. You can't separate the two, he says. So it's a very important principle to learn that love shows up in obedience. Point number three, there are blessings for obeying his commands. Notice he says his presence will be there. He wants to make his home with you. His love from Jesus and the Father will be there. In essence, ladies, that's double chocolate love. Could you imagine the Father and Jesus loving you at the same time with an intense and passionate love? Wow. Just like I want my kids to know every day, I tell them every day, my wife tells them every day, hey, I love you. Before we go to bed or in the morning, hey, we love you. Every phone call, hey, love you. We want our kids to know, I'm sure you do as well, you want them to know that they are loved every single day that they live. And our Heavenly Father is the same way with that. He wants us to know and enjoy His love. And the key to experiencing His love on a continual basis is our obedience to Him, because we love Him. We obey because we love. And so maybe God is showing Himself to you this week. And you're like, well, how is He showing Himself to me this week? And so maybe it's showing, you've been showing restraint on strangling your kids or your spouse because life has been tough. And so you're just like, oh. But you have to remember, it's like, hey, I love you, and we're going to get through this together. I know things are hard. And so always remember, there's blessings for obedience. In essence, there's rewards for obedience. The fourth principle is this: obedience is not only the overflow of our love for Jesus, it's also the key to our spiritual growth and fruitfulness. So you see this principle in John 15. So turn it one page over, one chapter over to John 15, and we'll start in verse 7. It says, Jesus says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. So he's talking about your prayer life. And so God is answering prayer all the time, whether it's yes, no, or wait, but he's always answering. And so Jesus says, hey, the key to a fruitful prayer life is obedience. Let his word remain in you. And that way you start praying biblical prayers that are in line with God's will and not just random prayer requests. But let his word remain in you. Verse 8, it says, this is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. So if you want to show the world that you're a disciple or a follower of Jesus Christ, you know there's two things. It's called love one another. Jesus says in John 13, then in John 15, he says obedience and fruitfulness is another avenue to show that you are a disciple of Christ. It brings the Father a whole lot of glory and honor and joy when he sees his kids like a produce market where there's all kinds of fruit in abundance. And it's just everywhere. And that's what he wants to see. He doesn't want to see a barren fruit market from his kids. He wants them to enjoy a fruitful life. Notice verse 9, as the Father has loved me, Jesus says, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. Stay there. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. Now notice where all this is going. Verse 11. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Wow. Jesus is telling them the inner secret to the spiritual life of joy and love and fruitfulness. And we need to pay attention here. This is the very night before he went to the cross. He's telling them the secrets to the spiritual life. And he says, just as I obey the Father and remain in a love relationship with the Father, so I want you to do the same. In essence, Jesus was living the example of an obedient, fruitful life, even when life got hard, even the next day to the cross, where he was under severe attack from the devil, from the Roman guards, from the religious leaders. It got hard very, very quick. But he experienced joy even in the midst of the cross because he knew he was loving and obeying the Father's will, even when life got tough. And so, there's blessing. So there's joy, he talks about, fruitfulness. Now think of the grapes or a grape, a cluster of grapes. And so sometimes there's like shriveled grapes. Sometimes the stem is all barren. Sometimes after you've eaten them all. But sometimes there is just like a bunch of grapes on a single stem that you're like, wow, that is a fruitful looking branch or a bunch of grapes. And so, wow, that is what Jesus is looking for, that fruitfulness, not the barrenness, not the shriveled up stem or grapes. No, he wants a fruitful life for you. That's his goal for you. And so he's helping us make life work, this, our spiritual life with the Lord work. And so, you know, one of my favorite actors is John Wayne. And so I just want to share some famous quotes from John Wayne. And so we've been sharing some things from Jesus. And so I just want to share some famous quotes from John Wayne. There's some wisdom here, right, for practical life, making life work. He says, talk low, talk slow, and don't talk too much. Now, many of you would probably agree, hey, that's an easy principle to learn, right, to make life work. Just don't say too much. The second one is, this is my favorite. Courage is being scared to death, but saddling up anyway. Isn't that awesome? Hey, I'm scared to death to get on this horse, but I'm going to saddle up, I'm going to get on, and I'm going to ride even though I'm scared to death. That's courage. Then another one is, tomorrow hopes that we have learned something from yesterday. That's a simple, easy truth, right? We're always learning from our mistakes or from what information we're gathering. And so we're always learners to make life work for us, to be better at life. Now, this next quote is for a friend of mine who, this is his favorite quote. It was his birthday last Wednesday, and so on the 13th. And so this is his favorite quote for John Wayne. It says, life is tough, but it's tougher when you're stupid. You're like, what does that mean? Well, there's some truth to that. And so Solomon says in the book of Proverbs, the way of a transgressor is hard. Or the life of a person who continues to make mistakes and disobeys God and works against God is going to continually get harder and harder and harder. He's like, well, why does God allow it to get harder and harder? Because he's wanting to get our attention. And so sometimes when it takes pain, it takes hardship for us to listen. And many believe that's what God is doing in the midst of our day. He's trying to get our attention. He's trying to wake us up. He's trying to get us stirred up inside to make sure and evaluate our life to make sure that we're on track with him, that we're ready, that if he came at any moment, we would be ready. Are you ready for that? I hope you are. Because who knows, right? Jesus says, we don't know the day or the hour, but we can see things come to pass. So I hope things are ready for you. Learn from others. Learn instruction. Learn from God's word. Let this remain in you. And you will live a life that's not tough. But don't make it tough. Don't make it tougher by not be willing to learn and grow with Christ. So I just want to give you a couple other things here that we have to wrestle with, I think, mentally and remind ourselves all the time. I want to give you three things. Number one, God knows what he's talking about. So sometimes we wrestle with, God, are you really sure of what you're saying here? Are you being really clear? God always is pretty clear when it comes to simple relational commands with him or with other people. Secondly, God is trying to help us, not hurt us. Sometimes we have to wrestle with that. God's always trying to help us, not hurt us. And so he says, hey, don't get drunk because you're going to hurt yourself. I'm trying to help you there. Don't go there. Don't get angry. Don't get frustrated. Don't blow up with your temper. Don't go there because you're going to get hurt. I'm trying to help you not go there. And so we have to listen to what he's saying to us. Then thirdly, God loves us and wants the best for us. Sometimes we have to remember these simple truths that he's laid out for us. He loves us and he wants the best for us. If he's trying to help us and share the truth with us, then he wants what's best for us. Proverbs says, the wise listen, but the fool despises God's instruction. And in these days, don't be foolish. Be wise in these days. Listen to what God is saying to us in this second principle of obedience. We have to be willing to learn and come under and trust and know that God loves me and he wants the best for me. And so whether it's in my single life, whether it's in my marriage, whether it's in my finances, no matter what area the Bible talks on, we have to trust and obey what he's saying to us if we want that fruitful life. If you want a great marriage, then study the Bible. If you want to have great finances, study the Bible. It's all in there, but you have to put it to practice. You know, if we keep disobeying the Lord's instructions, then life is just going to get so much harder. And I don't want to see your life get harder, even in the midst of hardship, right? And so just love him and trust him, even in life's painful moments. And, you know, sometimes even in regret, we can learn lessons. There's old regret can teach us some things, but you know what? We have to move forward from that too. We have to move forward. We're not built to walk backwards. So get your love right. Here's the key thing. Get your love right, then obedience will follow. That's the key thing. Get your love right, get your heart right, get your mind right, get your will right, and then obedience will follow. So always remember that. Here's a little thing I try to do all the time, and that is simply find out where things aren't working. Learn how to make adjustments and then make those adjustments. Let me say that one more time. So learn where life's not working for you, then or find out where it's at, then learn what to do in the midst of that and then make those adjustments. That's what we do all the time anyway. And that's what God wants us to do all the time, is to simply learn and grow all the time. And so in closing today, what has God been doing to get your attention these days? Is he sending any signals your way that you need to work on some things? Maybe it's parenting skills. Maybe it's learning how to cook. It's like in the midst of all of this, I've had to learn how to cook. I got to let somebody teach me. And so I'm learning all of that. What is he that he's teaching you? How is he getting your attention? Maybe he's giving you a second chance. He's giving us all a second chance on getting things right, making that mid-course correction, so to speak. You know, some people are thinking that God is allowing this to because of our nation's disobedience. And so sometimes Israel had to go through those hard times like that. You study in the Old Testament. And so God had to bring about discipline to get their attention because of their disobedience as a nation. And I can give you several examples of that, just like on the Sabbath in the Old Testament. For 70 years, Israel continued to work on the Sabbath. And God says, don't work on the Sabbath. You need a day of rest. And so for 70 years then, he took them captive and put them in Babylon for 70 years because they disobeyed for 70 years. It's like, well, I don't want to learn that lesson, right? And so maybe God is stirring things up because we as a nation need to get things right. I hope so, because I love our land. I love our country. And I'm praying for our leaders, and I hope you are as well. They desperately need it. But one thing I know for sure, I don't necessarily understand all that God is doing in the midst of this, but one thing I know for sure is that he longs to have a relationship with you. In John 3:16, God says, I sent my son just for you, and I just want you to trust him for your salvation, for your forgiveness of sins. And then it says the blessing is, then you will receive eternal life and have eternal love with Jesus forever and ever. That's a huge blessing, but that's the starting point. That's the beginning command to obey, and that is to understand his love for me, but then also to obey and put my trust in Jesus alone for my eternal salvation. Because the last time I checked, There's no cure. There's no vaccination for death. There's no cure for it. As lab results are going out all over the world trying to find a vaccine for this virus that we're dealing with. You know, Jesus has the cure for death, and that is eternal life with Him. But you have to commit your whole life, your heart to Him, your trust in Him for your eternity. And I hope everyone watching has done that, or if you haven't, please do that right now. You know, God takes us just as we are, rebellious, disobedient, broken, discouraged, just scars all over our life. He takes us just as we are, and He molds us and shapes us into something new. And He blesses us, and His goodness and His mercy follow us the rest of our lives. And so why wouldn't you put your trust in a God who's willing to take you right where you are and to take you where you need to be? Let me just close in prayer today before we have our closing song. So, Father, I thank You for Your word today. Thank You for sharing Your inner secret of the second principle of just letting love show up in obedience. Lord, help us to be better at obeying and trusting You, of listening and just coming under Your wisdom and instruction, and to be wiser and learn more during these times. So, Father, I just pray for every family, pray for every person, Lord, that You would just shower them with understanding of what You're saying here today. May they live that fruitful life, Lord, that You have shared with us, that joy in the midst of hard times, Your joy for us. Lord, help it be complete in us, in our hearts today, in our minds. Fill us, Lord, with Your love. Help us to stay there. But, Lord, more than anything, Lord, let Your word be in us and help us to live it out in our life. So, Father, we trust You for all these things. We want to tell You we love You today. Thank You so much for loving us and giving us Your word today. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.